Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the Martello Technologies Group second quarter fiscal 2021 investor conference call. Today's call will provide information and commentary on financial results for the second quarter of the 2021 fiscal year, or the 3 and 6 months ended September 30th, 2020. We will hear from John Proctor, President and CEO of Martello, and Aaron Crowe, Martello's Chief Financial Officer. Following these remarks, John and Aaron will take questions from analysts. If you have a question following the call, you can reach Martello at investor@martellotech.com. First, here are a couple of housekeeping notices. All participants are in listen-only mode for the duration of the call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity for analysts to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. This call is being recorded, and we expect that the recording will be available on Martello's website today. We remind you that today's remarks will include forward-looking statements that are subject to important risks and uncertainties. For more information on these risks and uncertainties, please see the reader advisory at the bottom of Martello's news release, which is on their website and on SEDAR. The company's actual performance could differ materially from these statements. We'll begin with a review of the financial results with Martello CFO, Aaron Crowe. Aaron?
Thank you. Martello's mission is to become a dominant vendor in the Enterprise Digital Experience Monitoring, or DEM, market, making every user's digital experience productive, whether conducting a video conference or sharing a file. Our DEM solutions give IT teams actionable intelligence to proactively deliver a positive digital experience for users. Martello has thousands of customers in more than 175 countries around the world. Following an active and transformational Q1, during which Martello acquired GSX and closed new financings, in Q2 of fiscal 21, Martello focused on building its pipeline of sales deals and on integrating GSX. We're pleased to report that just one quarter after acquiring GSX, these efforts have already yielded results. Martello added more than 450,000 new Microsoft 365 users to Martello's Gizmo product, reaching 2 million licensed users in Q2. In addition, we've seen growth in bookings, revenues, and renewals of the IQ service analytics platform. In addition, in July 2020, Martello sold its Network Performance Management, or NPM, segment to focus our resources on the growing DEM opportunity. Now I'll turn to details of our financial results this quarter. In Q2 fiscal 21, I'm pleased to report that our revenue grew by 63% to $4.4 million, with 96% of total revenue recurring. Monthly recurring revenue, or MRR, also grew by 63% compared to the same quarter in the prior year, excluding the discontinued Network Performance Management segment. Once again, we achieved positive adjusted EBITDA. We continue to believe that our growth rates, gross margins, and recurring revenue metrics place us among leading software as a service vendors anywhere and within any sector. As mentioned, revenue of $4.4 million is 63% higher than $2.7 million in the same quarter of the prior year. The acquisition of GSX contributed $1.7 million to the increase. Mitel UC monitoring revenue increased by 3%, offset by a 9% decrease in revenue from IT service analytics. This includes revenue from both the legacy LiveMaps business as well as the growing IQ business. Monthly recurring revenue, or MRR, increased by 63% over the same quarter in the prior year to reach $1.42 million, excluding the discontinued NPM segment. Including the discontinued NPM segment, MRR increased by 48% compared to $960,000 in Q2 fiscal 20. The increase in MRR is due to the addition of GSX revenues, which contributed $560,000 in MRR in Q2 fiscal 21. MRR is a non-IFRS measure and represents average monthly recurring revenues earned in a fiscal quarter. The MRR measure offers insight into the predictability of Martello's current and future revenue streams. The recurring portion of total revenue was stable at 96% in Q2 fiscal 21 compared to 97% in Q2 fiscal 20. Revenue remains diversified, with Mitel UC monitoring contributing 42% of revenues in Q2 fiscal 21 compared to 58% in Q2 of the prior year. GSX monitoring solutions, including Microsoft 365 monitoring, contributed 39% of revenues in Q2 fiscal 21, with none in the prior year because GSX was acquired in May 2020. IT service analytics contributed 19% in Q2 fiscal 21 compared to 29% in Q2 fiscal 20. In Q2 last year, the discontinued NPM segment contributed 13% of revenue. Revenue from sales of UC performance analytics software through the Mitel channel in the 3 months ended September 30, 2020 increased by 3% to $1.85 million, compared to $1.8 million reported for the same period in fiscal 20. Martello is engaged with Mitel in several initiatives which we believe will expand coverage of MPA and Mitel product lines in the future. Gross margin remains strong at 95% in Q2 fiscal 21 compared to 93% in Q2 fiscal 20. The company achieved positive adjusted EBITDA of $304,000 in Q2 fiscal 21 compared to a loss of $985,000 in the same period of fiscal 20. Adjusted EBITDA is a non-IFRS financial measure which assesses operating performance before the impact of one-time costs associated with acquisition activity, impairment losses, other non-cash costs, as well as the impact of discontinued operations in fiscal 21. Positive adjusted EBITDA in Q2 fiscal 21 reflects the slight improvement in gross margin, the continuation of temporary risk management measures, including salary and work hour reductions in response to COVID-related uncertainty, as well as the reclassification of the NPM segment as discontinued operations in the quarter. Recently, the company returned its employees to full salary and work hours, and Martello will continue to make investments to accelerate MRR and revenue growth. These investments may impact short-term operating results. Operating expenses for the quarter increased by $1.45 million to $4.76 million, from $3.3 million in Q2 fiscal 20. The increase reflects $1.94 million in GSX operating expenses, which included $330,000 in amortization of intangibles, of which there were none in the comparable period. Excluding the impact of these items, operating expenses decreased by 15%, or $500,000, compared to the same quarter last year. The decrease in expenses is related to COVID-19 reductions in travel and marketing activities, as well as the temporary reductions in salaries and other compensation. Loss from operations was $580,000 compared to a loss of $800,000 in the same period of fiscal 20, a decrease of $220,000. Revenue and gross margin increases were partially offset by increased expenses relating to the acquisition of GSX, including amortization of GSX intangibles and acquisition-related costs. In addition to these items, and contributing to net loss, the company incurred higher interest expense on the Vistara term loan, partially offset by foreign exchange gains. The company divested the assets of the NPM segment in Q2 fiscal 21 for total proceeds of $828,000, consisting of cash of $424,000, a promissory note receivable of $100,000, and common shares in the acquiring entity of $304,000. A gain of $220,000 was recognized on the divestment, contributing to a gain from discontinued operations of $103,000 in Q2 fiscal 21, as compared to a loss of $650,000 in Q2 fiscal 20. The results of the NPM segment are reported as discontinued operations for all periods presented in the financial statements. As a result of these items, the net loss for Q2 fiscal 21 was $940,000 compared to a net loss of $1.5 million in Q2 fiscal 20. The company's cash and short-term investments balance was $4.2 million at September 30, 2020, compared to $5.9 million at March 31, 2020. The company is confident, subject to risk factors associated with the ongoing COVID-19 crisis, that it retains sufficient available cash, working capital, and available revolver to fund organic growth plans going forward. Our long-term DEM strategy will require investment over the next several quarters. This investment may impact short-term operating results as the company positions itself to accelerate MRR and revenue growth in future quarters. I'm glad that our strategic investment in DEM is yielding the early results we've seen in Q2 fiscal 21. Based on sales activities, we are pleased with the trajectory we are seeing. I'll now hand it over to John Proctor for his perspective on Martello's performance and outlook. John?
Thanks, Erin. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm delighted by Martello's progress through Q2 of fiscal 21 and our outlook for the future. As Erin has noted, we've seen strong year-over-year revenue and MRR growth of 63%. Martello is taking a systematic approach to executing its DEM strategy. In Q2 fiscal 21, these efforts have created the foundation for the company's next phase of growth and have brought early results. Martello's growing market opportunity in DM is being increasingly recognized by third-party industry analysts and also reflected in our sales pipeline. I think the most compelling indicator that our DM strategy is working is the addition of 450,000 Microsoft end users in just 5 months since we acquired GSX. For emerging market segments like this in enterprise technology, third-party industry validation and endorsement is important. Leading research firm Gartner recognized Martello in 3 reports published in July 2020. Enterprise Management Associates recognized us as a DM vendor to watch in October on the strength of our combined IQ and Gizmo solution for Office 365. Gartner, in an October report on driving the digital workforce, recognized Martello as a key vendor of DM solutions. None of Martello's competitors in the Microsoft 365 space were also recognized in the report. This growing recognition is happening at the right time for Martello. After surging by 70% in April 2020, Microsoft Teams video conferencing usage subsequently grew by an additional 50%, according to Microsoft, in October 2020. As usage skyrockets for this service, there is growing demand for a solution to monitor the user experience. Martello recently added advanced Teams video monitoring capabilities to its Gizmo product, which is important to true end user experience analytics. In Q2 fiscal 21, I was pleased that Gizmo also detected a global Microsoft 365 outage, notifying its users before other available methods. This led to an increase in inbound sales inquiries immediately following the outage. This combination of third-party market recognition and exploding usage of Microsoft Teams has had a meaningful impact on our sales activity and product development. As part of the integration of GSX, significant work was done through Q2 to integrate the sales organization, including people, processes, and systems. The team is aligned on driving new business for our DEM products via direct enterprise sales and partnerships, as well as cross-selling and upselling into Martello's current customer base. We've seen some success in the quarter in sales growth for the IQ Service Analytics platform, with bookings, revenues, renewals, and sales pipeline all increasing in Q2 for this product. In part, this has been driven by a focus on converting the legacy LiveMaps customers to IQ and Gizmo. This past quarter, a large law firm and global insurance firm both made the move to IQ, and there are many others who express interest. We're also working on sales strategies to bring IQ and Gizmo to Mitel customers and partners. We've already seen early success here with Mitel partners by pursuing a complete Martello DEM solution, which includes MPA, Gizmo, and IQ. These partners will gain complete end-to-end insight into their unified communications and Office 365 user experience with Martello's DEM solution. Finally, we're seeing a steady stream of OEM-based deals from our partnership with Paisler. The progress here has so far exceeded our expectations. Our partnership with Mitel continues to be strong, and we are aligned to their key strategic growth initiatives, including MyCloud Flex. While we expect the MPA business to grow, our overall revenue base continues to diversify, such that this segment of our business now contributes 42% of our revenues, compared with 58% a year ago. Even as the sales team and related processes are fully integrated and performing, the operational integration of GSX into Martello is nearing completion. The more complex development of cloud-based multi-tenancy for Gizmo and IQ is progressing well. You may also have seen the news reported this morning that Antoine Leboyer, the former CEO of GSX, has joined Martello's board of directors. Antoine will replace Niall Gallagher, who has decided not to stand for re-election this year and is enjoying a well-deserved retirement. I'm delighted that Antoine has agreed to join our board. I spent countless hours with Antoine since we began the process of acquiring GSX almost a year ago, and I'm very confident in the value he'll bring to Martello. Antoine has deep knowledge and expertise in building enterprise software companies. He is the visionary behind the development of the GSX Microsoft 365 digital experience monitoring business that has become a key engine of Martello's DEM offering. I'd like to close with my perspective on Martello's outlook. As I've said before, I believe that our stock is undervalued. I do see increasing price support for our stock, which I believe is a reflection of our growing opportunity and demonstrated execution. While I'm pleased with our progress and results, I'm still not satisfied. I'm pushing Martello's leadership team to move fast and invest where needed to capture our growing market opportunity in DEM. I believe we have the kind of market opportunity in front of us that companies rarely see, and sales execution will act as a catalyst for the revaluation of our stock. To that end, we are taking a very systematic approach to developing the product features that will close the opportunities in our pipeline and increase MRR over time. We are investing in sales, customer success, and delivery to ensure our customers have the best experience in the industry and stay with us for many years to come. None of this can be achieved overnight. It takes time, persistence, and investment. And with this approach already yielding early results, I'm extremely confident that our strategy will bring strong results in fiscal 2022. The investments we are making in long-term growth may have a near-term impact on adjusted EBITDA. Aaron and I have spent time over the last quarter speaking with retail brokers, institutional funds, and high net worth investors. We've announced sales deals when this has been possible, while respecting the privacy of our customers, and we're planning additional opportunities to share Martello's news, including an investor newsletter. You can register to receive Martello's news in the investor section of our website at martellotech.com. I'd like to thank you all for joining us today and wish continued good health to all of you and your families. Aaron and I will now answer your questions. Operator, would you please facilitate the question and answer part of this call?
Certainly. We will now begin the question and answer session. Investors and analysts who wish to join the question queue may press star then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw from the question queue, please press star then two. Once again, anyone on the conference call who wishes to ask a question may press star one at this time. The first question comes from Kevin Krishnaratne with Eight Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey there. Good morning, John and Aaron.
Morning, Kevin.
Morning. I have a few questions for you first on the Mitel channel. If I look at the subscription revenue line, it was just shy of $1.8 million. It was $1.9 million in Q1. And if you look in the past few quarters, it's sort of been stuck around this level. Can you unpack this a little bit? Can you talk about any, what might churn look like in there? What might the subscriber addition profile look like in there? I know you mentioned you're in discussions with Mitel on some opportunities. I'm just wondering if you could unpack that a little bit, because it came in a bit softer than I was expecting, and just over the past few quarters, it looks like it's been relatively flattish.
Yeah, I mean, we're working closely with Mitel on a few strategic initiatives that we believe will increase MPA revenues. And we're also looking at sales of Gizmo and IQ in this channel. I expect that by pursuing these projects, we'll see an increased growth rate from this channel over the medium to long term. At the same time, Mitel is a $1.3 billion business. We are their dedicated analytics provider. And you do have thousands of Mitel customers using our software. So we do recognize that the sales in these channels will fluctuate. We do see that with Mitel. And again, we see the challenges of this unified communication space. It's become very, very busy. But I think, we're also seeing our own diversification of revenue streams. And I think that's an important, point for us. With our own growth, they've gone to 42% rather than the 58% in the comparative year. So I think that I get your point on the flatness. But as you can imagine, Mitel is adjusting to this new work from home. They've got new products coming. We've got a whole range of new, as I said, new projects, strategic initiatives with them. So I think, as I said, over the medium to long term, we'll see that pick up as Mitel adjusts.
Okay, that makes sense to me. And I do want to just dig a little bit more, though. When you look at the number, there was a bit of churn in a way, or was there not? I'm just wondering if you can, describe that a little bit. Was there maybe, one customer loss? Is it kind of widespread? Or was it maybe, customers that are, laying off, so there's, less, monitoring being done? I'm just trying to understand, I can understand the additions maybe coming in, softer, but for the number to come down sequentially, I'm just wondering, what you're seeing there. Is that just something, like a one-time anomaly? How do you think about that going forward?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of factors in there. We don't have full visibility behind what's happening at the Mitel level on their own churn. We are aware that they did lose one customer at one point in, I believe it was in Q1, which would have impacted, obviously, a fairly large customer, I understand, which would have impacted our Q2 revenue to some degree, right? I mean, it's a very muted effect for us, but it did affect our subscription revenue number. And then there's also a FX component there as well on our Mitel revenue. So really, it fluctuates to some degree with the U.S. dollar as well, because the majority of that revenue is in U.S. dollars. So there's a couple of different things at play there when you look at those numbers. And we are working with Mitel, to understand, as John said, some of the opportunities that they see and where we will have those opportunities to drive additional revenue and coverage on the MPA side.
Okay, that's all helpful. Is there a way, I'm not looking for necessarily, specific guidance, but can you help us set expectations for the next couple of, or maybe the next quarter even, just for this specific line? I know, it's positive to see that you've come back on with the sales force back to, better, fuller activity in October. So you must be seeing something good in the pipeline across all the business. I'm just wondering, just before I move to the next section, if you could just help us with this business, over the next couple of quarters. I know that you're confident of return to, stronger growth later on in the medium term, but how do we think about that over the next couple of quarters?
Yeah, as I said, sort of medium to long term, we're confident. I mean, this is all monthly recurring revenue. It's good, solid margins for us on this business. And, as I said, with $1.3 billion, Mitel's not going away anytime soon, sorry. And what I see is some, and I clearly can't talk about, Mitel on behalf of Mitel. They've got some, really interesting projects. They're recognizing the changes going on that we're involved with. And, if I look at some of that, a lot of this goes around these analytics, right, the data that's there. And as we're their sole and only analytics solution and they white label us, we're fully embedded in these programs. It's just that balance. And as Aaron said, in this one, even the exchange rate had an effect on this. But I think over the long, medium to long term, the decrease will be, I don't see a decrease. I see it certainly holding as they adjust to the, to this new environment. And as they look at to more, cloud UCaaS solutions, they've integrated Teams, right? That's a good, good aspect of this. We're all recognizing these integrations into other environments are needed as people work from home and the IT environment changes. So you can now accept a Teams call on your Mitel phone system. So, if you can sort of the light bulb moment goes on and say, well, hold on, their analytics partner, who's us, already has a Teams analytics solution, and they're combining us. They're combining that together. You can probably work out why their partners, who offer Mitel as a service and Office 365 as a service, are really interested in bringing this complete DEM solution. With IQ bringing both of those two together into one nice package for them. So the acquisition we have done has actually positioned us really, really well to stay even closer to Mitel. As they adjust into the new this new normal.
Okay, that's great color there on the gizmo. That's kind of where I was going next. On the GSX, it was nice growth there, 6%. Quarter over quarter. If you look at the I know you had the 1 month in Q1, but if you sort of look at the monthly rate of that and compare that to Q2, it was up nicely 6%. which I think is in line. If you look at the, maybe for Aaron, the breakdown of the revenue was a little bit over $1 million in subscriptions and then maintenance revenue of $586,000. Are you able to give us the breakdown of Gizmo versus non?
Yeah, so it's the breakdown so is between 20 and 25% non-Microsoft, so would be their legacy product, and the balance would be the Microsoft product.
Okay. And is
that
there...
That has been trending down, so as a percentage of their overall revenue, if I look at the last 4 months.
Okay. And so, nice to see, that was a great press release that we saw with regards to the, you know, you added 450,000 users, you're now at 2 million. I'm wondering how that growth sort of evolved over the quarter. Is that number, is the full run rate of the 2 million, close to being reflected in the Q3 reported number? If not, you know, how do we think about what the, you know, what the full, you know, quarterly revenue would be, say, for that base? I guess, because if I look at the, if I look at this from a quarterly revenue run rate on the Q1 revenue versus what you did in Q2, it kind of relates to about $60,000 worth of revenue. So I'm just wondering how to equate the growth that we saw in the revenue relative to the users that were added. And as a follow-up to that, can you remind us how Gizmo is priced? I know maybe relative to Mitel, because with the Mitel product, I think it's 20 cents per user per month. How do we think about what Gizmo is priced at?
Yeah, so good question, Kevin. I think, you know, when you... So a portion of the 450,000 users would be reflected in our Q2 revenue. But I think if you, you know, when you think about the fact that our revenue is over 95% recurring, so it really only gets baked in over time on the revenue piece. So if you think about, say, a $250,000 3-year deal, it's, you know, 7,000 of new MRR, right? Or, you know, let's say 21,000 in a quarter kind of thing. So it does take time to work its way into the revenue, and some of those deals did come in through the quarter, so they wouldn't be fully reflected, even the full MRR impact in Q2. And I think the other thing to keep in mind, as we just talked about, is that there is a portion of the GSX revenue that is still legacy. We know that is a declining piece of the business, so some of those new revenues, you know, there's a partial decline on those legacy revenues, that sunsetting business as well, and that's expected, right? We've talked about that before, so no surprise there. I think what we're pleased to see in Q2 is that there's been growth in the Microsoft 365 space, and so that's, you know, obviously in line with our strategy. And then John will just touch on the pricing.
Sure, and for pricing, and this is where Gizmo is kind of interesting, because it's, you know, effectively an add-on or follow-on or upsell to Office 365. And I say that in two ways. If I look at also one of our other partners, you actually don't need Office 365 to have Gizmo. And that's kind of, I'll come back to pricing because this point is actually important. If you actually install Gizmo, you can model what an Office 365 installation would look like. So if you're an IT environment, that's really important because they spend a lot of time, you know, you spin up Office 365 and find out things don't work properly, that's a fairly expensive problem, particularly if you've already started to transition the company over. Whereas if you actually install Gizmo first, you can model this using the synthetic transactions, see how Office 365 will work and fix it before you install Office 365. But coming back to the pricing point, what we're looking at here is we do by seat. So effectively what we're looking at here is how many users do you have? And it's, we align very much the Office 365 model. And if you look at that, you know, whether that's sold directly by Microsoft or as a service through a Microsoft partner, you know, we align into their pricing and we look around at sort of, we try and one of the biggest, not challenges, but hurdles, not hurdles we have, but sort of things we focus on that pricing is we need to understand what the customer paid for Office 365 and then line into that. And, you know, when I look at Gizmo, nobody's going to pay more than, you know, an additional 10% more for an add-on. So, you know, we're less than 10% of the of the cost of Office 365 is how I'm going to put it. And then it depends really on what the customer has paid for Office 365 on that pricing. And we work very closely with our partners, including Microsoft, who are taking us to a number of customers at the moment to adjust on that basis.
Okay, that's helpful on that 10%. The last question, just a thought there. It's really interesting to hear that, you know, obviously the synthetic monitoring is proactive in nature on, you know, an installation of Microsoft. You've talked in the past about opportunities potentially down the road for, you know, adding other types of software to be, you know, predicted, whether that's Salesforce, other SaaS platforms. I'm wondering, are you able to leverage the technology from Gizmo into other pieces of software, or is it, you know, strictly, you know, I know it's strictly a Microsoft thing today, but just curious on, you know, future technology roadmap, how you're able to potentially leverage what you already have with Gizmo into other services.
Yeah, so if you think of it in sort of two parts, as the display atom or the dashboard that we provide as part of Gizmo, and then there's the sort of probe or the analysis tool itself. So what we're looking at here is absolutely the dashboard aspect can certainly be fed by other data. It's the probe that has to be changed. So putting another sort of, you know, analytics probe or agent onto the endpoint device or server, so we can see that whether it's Salesforce, SAP, or whatever other technology, that's the key piece. But we can then leverage that into the current sort of dashboard system we have. And then this is where IQ plays that key piece of becoming the glue to pull all of this together. So if you're an IT team, whether you're running, Azure, Google Cloud, SolarWinds, PRTG, you know, what we're pulling there together is this complete picture with Office 365 for an IT team. And we mentioned a couple of those, and we certainly mentioned recently an insurance company that's, you know, added multiple, you know, Azure instances, Office 365, VMware, SolarWinds, you name it, all into one big picture. And that becomes the key for us is, and it's a unique differentiator when you look at that Office 365 space, is we have incredible depth in Office 365, much stronger than, you know, our competitors, but we can also pull it into a bigger picture for the IT team. And that's where the IT, you know, director or the CIO truly finds the value out of our combination of products.
Great. Okay, thanks, guys. I'll pass the line. Thank you.
The next question comes from Daniel Rosenberg with Paradigm Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I had a question regarding the organic growth profile for you guys. So given how much GSX represented in the quarter, I was wondering how you think about organic growth in the near term versus medium term trends. Would this quarter's results be reflective of what you see going forward? So if you could elaborate there, please.
Yeah, so I think I'll start here and then John can jump in. But I think when we look at the current revenue growth rate, I mean, we're really pleased, obviously, with the 63% growth in the, you know, quarter over quarter number. You know, I think we're also happy with the fact that we've seen growth from a, you know, on the new DEM product, particularly on the IQ side, the revenues, the renewals, and the pipeline, and they're growing and they're trending in the right direction. And we're also seeing the benefits of the work that we've done with some, you know, with a, and generating a strong pipeline on the GSX side as well, on the Microsoft side. You know, the revenue piece in both the IT service analytics, IQ, or the Cvision business, and then the GSX business, are to some extent influenced by the decline in those sunsetting products, right, which we've expected and we've talked about before. So, you know, as the proportion of the new business continues to grow and those sunsetting businesses continue to decline, that organic growth will be reflected more clearly in the overall revenue growth in that, you know, sort of next couple of quarters, I would say, as we continue to see that trend.
Yeah, and I'll just add on to that, Daniel. If you look at the growth of Office 365 and you look at sort of the what I'm seeing in terms of the pipeline for, you know, the Gizmo product, I do see that at some point, and I mentioned sort of the, you know, the percentages, there's a very large likelihood that the Gizmo product and our depth into Office 365 will become a very dominant product for us with that growth. The growth in Office 365, and I mean, even, you know, look at the federal government here in Canada. You know, they were supposed to spend 2 years going to Office 365, and they've done it in 3 to 4 months, which, you know, is a great piece. But when you do something that quickly, some of the pieces get challenged. So we've been pulled into a number of conversations there, and it's the same happening in Europe. A number of organizations have gone really fast into Office 365, and that's kind of an industry-wide thing. You know, this COVID and the economic uncertainty and the work from home has been an accelerator to, you know, certain aspects of digital transformation. And as part of that accelerator, you know, you don't get, you know, to do things probably as tidily and neatly as you want to do. And therefore, you need to understand what is going on. Without our tool, you can't do that. In the last month, you know, Microsoft has pulled us into a discussion with a very large global car manufacturer who are having problems with Teams. And they couldn't understand why, but we can. You put our solution in and you can understand what's going on. And the nice thing, again, we've added recently with the recent release is the pixelation issue. So it's not just about voice, it's about video. And I think that we're recognizing more and more important. We call it the new normal. We're not quite sure what that will look like. But certainly, you know, voice and video calls are becoming the norm of expectation, you know, in terms of versus just a voice call. So we're moving into that space, and I think that's why you'll see, as we tag along or, you know, as connected ourselves to this Office 365 growth, that will be a significant driver for us.
Okay, thank you for that. As it relates to the investment that you mentioned to accelerate your growth plans, I was wondering if you could provide some context into what that means, especially as we come out of COVID, and it sounds like you guys are back at kind of a normalized run rate. So should we think of that kind of as a percentage of revenue, what the expense ratios look like prior to COVID for you guys, or how should we think about that incremental investment going forward?
Yeah, I'll start on this and I'll then hand over to Aaron. We kind of mentioned this really, which is, you know, we've had to invest in sales and customer success and delivery. A couple of reasons for that. One, which is, you know, with an overwhelming pipeline and focus and drive and pull by Microsoft, we didn't have the capacity, particularly in North America, because, you know, GSX, former GSX and Gizmo were European based, and they've got a fabulous sales team over in Europe. We were comfortable with the team there. But we didn't have the capacity to deal with demand here in North America, so we've added headcount into sales. And then you've seen some of the recent wins. You know, these are very big, you know, enterprise-level clients. You can't struggle with delivery, so we've got to get delivery. So the former CTO of GSX is now our VP of delivery, and we've got a delivery organization. We're growing under him because you have to have delivery excellence. If you look at these contracts, we want to have retention. We can't afford, you know, as we put boxes on the front of the truck, we can't afford them to fall off the back. That won't be organic growth. So we want to keep as many boxes on the truck as possible, and therefore you have to have delivery excellence. So we put some, you know, we're investing into there as well, and that enables these growth pieces. So really, that's the focus. It's certainly not administrative headcount. It's certainly not in that space. It's very much, you know, you're either selling or building at the moment is where the investment is. And that comes back to sort of this, you know, focus for us, right, is being as lean and mean as we can and yet still achieve the goals we've set ourselves. Aaron, do you have any follow-on to that?
No, I think that's a good sort of way to think about it. You know, if we look at the investments that we're making, as John said, you would see, you know, increases in the sales and marketing line item. You know, we'll obviously be looking at R&D as we go forward as well to drive the product piece. But G&A, we wouldn't be looking at any, you know, growth, significant growth on that line item at this point in time.
Okay. And it sounds like you're balancing.
Historical, obviously. Like, just, you know, thinking back to the fact that we have gone back to the sort of the full, more normalized headcount at this point.
Okay.
I mean, I'll give you a good example, which is, you know, our HR team, you know, when we absorbed GSX didn't change. GSX didn't come with an HR team. We didn't add headcount. Our HR team have taken it on. So again, we're going to run as lean as we can and drive, like I said, really the engine of both sales and R&D. So again, if you're not selling or building, it's a very hard question of whether we need it at the moment.
Okay, thank you for that. Last one for me before I pass the line. Just on the accounts payable line, so it seems to have gone down. Was that just related to the divestiture, or were there any other moving parts? And how should we think of that? Any changes that you see? Yeah.
You're looking at like between Q1 and Q2, or between March and Q2?
Yeah, Q1 and Q2.
Yeah, so I think Q1 was June 30th. We had finished the acquisition at that point. There were payables there relating to the acquisition itself and some of the acquisition costs, professional fees, and relating to the financings. So plus there were some GSX payables so that were part of our purchase price adjustment sitting on the balance sheet still at June 30th. So we've, you know, I'd say cleared out a lot of that now through Q2, and we're probably at a more normalized level at this point.
Okay, thank you, guys. I'll pass the line.
Thanks, Daniel.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. The next question comes from David Kwan with PI Financial. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning, David.
Morning, David.
Morning. I want to get back to the dynamics with the Mitel business. I appreciate the color you guys had given. Just trying to get a better understanding. Obviously, you talked about not having necessarily visibility into the churn at the Mitel level, but I was wondering, like, for your own business, like, have you seen any churn or loss in the channel partners, or has that been stable?
Yeah, good question, because, I mean, clearly you know Mitel, and it's all a partner business. We haven't seen any, you know, decrease in partners. Actually, we've actually increased volume of conversation with them, because what they're doing is they've got to protect their base. And by that I mean they have, you know, they offer Mitel as a service. They want to keep offering Mitel as a service. And that becomes really important to, you know, as they, you know, as folks take their phones home, or they work out how to connect Teams into this Mitel phone system they paid for. So that's increased our volume of saying, you know, they deal with increased complexity and concern from their clients, and part of their protecting base is, you know, bringing value. And I've kind of said this before, which is, you know, nobody's going to, you know, drop Microsoft and just keep Mitel. They want to run both. So when you do that, you have to have this solution. So, you know, I probably, like I said, our discussion with their partners has increased. Because they're running both, and most Mitel partners, you know, are large MSPs, systems integrators, who offer, you know, more than one solution in many spaces, because that's their business. So the more we can bring those things together into one picture, the better. And we've certainly got a number of folks, Mitel partners, who are already, you know, starting to pull sort of gizmo through into their environment. Because they know that they can then connect that through into the Mitel phone system. So they, if they're running both as a service, they can reduce their own mean time to respond and costs by pulling that into one picture using IQ. So it's a very positive story in that respect. So I'd say it's almost the inverse churn of partners. It's more that them sort of making sure they're protecting their base and need us to help them do that.
Okay. Thanks, Sean. So I guess, I mean, you guys had talked about this last quarter, I think, at the very least, as it relates to Microsoft, because we saw last quarter was soft as well. It was flattish versus Q4. That, you know, we may not necessarily get back to, you know, the historical growth rates that you guys have seen, kind of north of 25% to 30%. So maybe kind of looking out over the medium term, at the very least, you know, where do you think that number could go to? Like, could it get back to at least the 10% to 15% range, maybe closer to 20%? how should we be thinking about this kind of at least a year out?
Yeah, so, I mean, and again, I'll kick this off and hand over to Erin for sort of follow-on. I think if you look at this, there's going to be two key growth drivers for us. Obviously, the first one is Gizmo driving this Office 365 space. I'm extremely pleased with the current pipeline. I like what I'm seeing here. I'm looking at the growth aspects, which I like the look of. And then the IQ connectivity, right? We're seeing some, you know, really recognizing the value. I think, you know, we said this before on the call, you know, April, May this time, you know, this year, you know, no CIO wanted a discussion with anybody to buy anything because they were busy trying to adjust their own, you know, their own environment to the new, you know, COVID restrictions, et cetera, and the new sort of, you know, working environment. That's now starting to change, and they're dealing with a degree of complexity that they haven't seen before. The other thing to recognize is the average CIO in the last year, 2 years, has really changed, probably only in 5 years' role. If you go back sort of 3 or 4 years, the CIO used to control the applications in his own data center that ran across his own network in his own office. Now he's outsourced those applications to a third party that runs them from their own data center, and they run across the internet to people who work from home. They have very, very little control over that environment. So when the CEO says, you know, what do you guys do? You know, an IT team is much more towards a procurement arm of services rather than they are a delivery of services. And that's a true shift in this, you know, in the IT ecosystem. And when you think about that, they have to then say, well, where do you as a CIO bring value? And the answer is you have to be able to say to the CEO, everybody, all these services that we bought allow our people to be productive. Well, how do you measure that? You can't unless you've got a DEM solution. And that's kind of the new reality. And I think that's where we'll see the true growth is as the CIOs and IT teams adjust to this new reality of saying, you know, their true value in the supply chain is justifying to the CEO and showing to the CEO that the products they have spent money on deliver business productivity, rather than just saying, yeah, the stuff's on, which is exactly what you do before. I think that's where we'll see the shift in growth. So, you know, sorry, slightly wordy answer, but I think this is where, when you look at Gartner's point saying DM is, you know, 2 years away from mainstream, you know, we've come in at a perfect time, right? We've got IQ that glues it all together. We've been in the DM space for years with Mitel, you know, voice analysis, and we've added Office 365 at a perfect time. So I think this is great timing for us from a growth perspective, you know, and pulling ourselves through. So going back to sort of the key point on numbers, yeah, I think you'll see these growth engines of, you know, of Gizmo, the glue of IQ, really pulling this through. And then MPA will just keep churning, right? There, we will see Mitel, we'll see them adjust. Do we see MPA going back to 30% levels? Probably not, right? I don't think we'll get there. But certainly, you know, it isn't going away anytime soon. But I think the other two will be much, much bigger drivers for us going forward in the future.
So I guess it's the way it sounds like that in terms of the business mix, that's going to be moving even more away from MPA and towards Gizmo and IQ. John?
I just think by the nature of their growth, they will do. I don't, like I said, is, you know, we will see, you know, steady but small, you know, growth in MPA. It isn't going away. But I think the other two will have double, you know, if we look at double figures growth for those two, I think they will by that nature just start to grow bigger.
Okay. I guess it ties onto my next question. This is related to Cision. You know, we've kind of seen this play out, and you guys have telegraphed this migration moving away from perpetual licenses to subscription agreements. And so that you've seen some churn, obviously, in the customer base and just kind of more flattish to negative revenue growth over the last year. Do you feel like we're now kind of at the point where we could actually start to see the revenues grow at least on a quarter-over-quarter basis?
Yeah, so David, I'll take that one. Short answer, yes. I do think that we are at a point where we could start to see those revenues growing on a quarter-over-quarter basis. You know, we will still have, like if I look at that business, there is still a large enough proportion of the revenue that comes from the LiveMap sunsetting product. So there will still be an impact of that sunsetting. But the key for us is looking at the IQ piece We have seen revenue growth on that. We have seen stronger than expected success with the Paysler partnership. So we're seeing a really strong pipeline growing there on the IQ business as well. So we really believe that that's where the opportunities lie, and we will continue to see that LiveMaps legacy business declining. We're renewing the maintenance and support, and you know, but the focus right now is on driving that growth on LiveMaps on IQ.
Thanks, Aaron. Just as it relates to the MRR, I guess in particular, you know, obviously we've seen some of the revenue headwinds in the Mitel business and the IQ or more so on the LiveMap side that's impacted the MRR. Can you talk about the impact of the FX, though, especially on a quarter-over-quarter basis, given that the MRR was down slightly quarter-over-quarter?
Yeah, so I mean the FX will impact at this point. It'll impact the all lines of business right now. So the majority of our MPA business is in U.S. dollars. And then on the both the IQ and or the Cvision side and the GSX side, it's in a combination of euros and U.S. dollars. So there's certainly some variability there, and we've seen obviously the U.S. dollar fluctuations over the last several months. So those things will impact our MRR as we go forward, and we are looking at that as well, and you know, trying to look at how to isolate that as a piece of our MRR fluctuation.
So do you have, I guess, base, you know, if you assume the same FX rate that you had in Q1 and Q2, what the MRR number would be for Q2?
I do not have that off the top of my head, no.
Okay.
But I can certainly look at it, yeah.
Okay, thanks. I guess one more question as it relates to the OpEx, just trying to understand just the impact of you guys kind of going back to pre-pandemic levels for salary and hours, and then also these investments for growth, particularly on the sales and marketing side and R&D, you know, how we should be thinking about the OpEx line going forward. So when we look at what the OpEx line was in Q2, kind of all in was roughly about $4.8 million. What should we be kind of expecting for Q3 and going forward as a decent run rate?
Yeah, so if you think about what we've said in the MD&A around the fact that our operating expenses in Q2 are about $500,000 less than they were in the same quarter of the prior year, I think that's a reasonable way to look at getting back to sort of a more standard run rate. And if you look at year-to-date, that would also, I think it's about $1 million year-to-date that we're ahead. You know, so if you sort of look at the about $500,000 quarterly impact of some of these temporary measures, that would be reasonable. And then we've got to think about the fact that, as John mentioned, we are investing on the sales and delivery and customer success piece. You know, not at exponential numbers of people, but at certainly at some, you know, some moderate increases as we look at the next couple of quarters.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to John Proctor for closing remarks.
Thank you. And on behalf of all of us, thank you for your interest in Martello and for all the questions. As mentioned earlier, you can register to receive our upcoming newsletter in the investor section of our website. And the recording of today's call will be available on our website later today. You can reach out to our investor relations anytime by emailing investor@martellotech.com. Thank you, everyone, and have a great day.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.